party line team. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi, talking local.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
All right, and welcome aboard our rickety little ship that we call the Party Line. It is brought to you by Boone and Carroll and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your local news sources. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Also, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. They stick it where the sun shines. They also bring you our Marchand's Window Tinting Small Business Spotlight, which we will have one today. Also, Vierk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette, Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there, Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives, and Big Deals, save money now and 24-7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. The online telecast at HoosierlandTV.com, as always, is brought to you by many good friends of ours, including 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Reinhardt Realtors, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, ProBike Computer Sales and Service. On HoosierlandTV.com on behalf of WILO and Boone 102.7. Before we get into the show proper with our guest for the Marchand's Window Tinting Small Business Spotlight, I do want to mention the Big Deals page at WeLoveBigDeals.com. Backroads Barbecue in Lebanon, $20 certificates for just $10 each. There are not many left, by which I mean if you get on, you could easily sweep all of them. First come, first serve. Get them now at WeLoveBigDeals.com. They're normally $20. They're just $10 each. Take advantage while you can. All right. Todd Berryman on this side of the board, Melissa Miller on the other side of the board, and also joining us, our good friend from Travelers Point Distillery, back for a return visit. You were here how many months ago? 3 months ago?
I'm old. I can't remember that far back. It's been at least a day or two.
You're not that much older than I am. So it looks like you have got, for Travelers Point Distillery, this looks nifty. Is this new?
That's a barrel head that I brought for you. I figured it could go right up here.
And y'all down.
Can, everybody then can see something that, you know, a little more entertaining than here.
Has there been, well, yeah, it's probably a lot more entertaining, actually. So how's business been in the past couple of months? Have people been paying a little more attention to you?
We can't complain. I look for things to really start to pick up on our product line as we reach a four-year bourbon. Four-year is kind of a benchmark thing for bourbons. While our two-year bourbon has been, I think, pretty daggone tasty, the four-year is exponentially better. It will be coming out in May. And so we're getting ready to launch another product.
It's wrong that my mouth is watering right now, right?
I thought about bringing you a bottle, but I thought, you know, if we get in there and get all liquored up, it's hard to tell what be said. That probably wouldn't be the best thing.
I certainly hope Todd just said the word folks. Anyway, I am very pleased to see you again, having you on. I think he's our first repeat guest, right, Melissa?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And we thank you, Melvin, for coming in. Yeah. We really appreciate it. Yeah.
I appreciate it coming in here. You all have been great to us.
Well, you've been a real pleasure just to, honestly, when Cindy Lovelace describes somebody as a hoot, and that is a sincere compliment for her, I'm like, yes, he is. So I'm glad to have you back in here.
Yeah, Cindy and her family were in just the other day again. They come in on occasion. So I guess the next big thing we've got is we have a new product coming out. We hope to launch it April the 8th, in case nobody knows what that day is.
And by any chance, will it mention said event in the labeling?
I was just going to ask, are we picking April 8th because everybody's going to be in the dark?
Well, that's not unusual for me, but
we hope they're enlightened.
Oh, nice play on the words.
He shoots, he scores. Melvin from Travelers Point Distillery, everybody.
Oh, that was great. Yeah,
we have a product that's a Solera aged, which is an aging and blending process. Whiskey that we'll be bringing out, and actually we're going to launch it at the we're having a Eclipse party there at the bar. So once you get off work, you come down there and have a sup with us.
Nice.
And watch the Eclipse.
Now I've got to ask Melvin, because or not ask, even suggest, but I don't know if there's a way to do this. The last time I dealt with an Eclipse somewhere else, I got the bright idea from reading Robert Fulghum to make sun tea, but make it during the eclipse. So I put the jar out there during the eclipse. Is there a way for you to do a Traveler's Point Distillery eclipse whiskey? I don't know how you could do that, meaning during the eclipse, but I don't know how you could
do that. The young man who tends bar for me most of the days, he also works with me in the distillery as well, Cole, is he's pretty good at mixing drinks up, coming up with ideas. So we're coming up with an eclipse drink for that day and probably using their Solera liquor. And also we have a special label for it. If you're there during the eclipse and want to buy a bottle, we have a label that we'll put on it stating the fact that you were there.
That's beautiful.
That's cool.
That's a limited edition. Do you know how many you're going to have?
Well, since I only ordered 100 labels, there will be no more than 100.
People, are you paying attention? Yeah, Party really. Line listeners, Hoosierland TV viewers, you heard it here. 100. You got a limited edition here.
Yep. So that's what we've got in mind. We have some live music coming. We'll have some food actually being cooked there. I don't know who it is yet, but so we'll have food and music. And we have a big deck out the back's on the west side of the building.
Right.
So there's plenty of viewing spots to sit there and no trees around. And I would recommend if you do come, bring you a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, there's a lot of wide open space out there.
Well, we got a lot of space. And it's, you know, we could, and that's the problem with the eclipse stuff. Nobody has any clue how many people are going to show up. Now, I got a question for you. What happens if the sun don't shine bright?
It's still going to get dark.
We're going to still have our party, is what I'm going to tell you.
That's right.
Whether it's damp or not doesn't matter. It'll still be dark. Melissa is such an optimist for this stuff.
The sun does not have to shine to enjoy a good drink.
This is true.
We also have some little viewing glasses, too.
Okay.
Awesome.
I ordered a mess of them.
So you guys are going to make a whole day of it, basically.
We're intending to open at noon on Monday. And probably run till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. You know, we've been trying to find out if anybody in town there has any clue, because Kirkland's been one of those communities that's identified as being a prime spot for watching the eclipse.
Yeah.
And so no one knows. It's going to be somewhere between 3 and 30,000 people extra in town.
Yeah.
But we just don't know which one end of that's going to be the right one. So that's what we're going to do anyway. And we don't care if anybody agrees with us or not. Yeah. We're just going to do it.
That's all right.
Attaboy.
Hey, that's the way I look at it, too. No, I. You're right. I mean, we don't know. We have no clue how many people are going to come in, and because it's kind of across the board, I mean.
So nebulous. You just don't know.
Yeah, Boone County, Clinton County. But, yeah, Kirkland is. It is cool that Kirkland is one of the prime spots. And I'm sure our astronomer is if he's listening, I'll be really
our
surprised.
Our astronomer.
Yeah, I'll be really surprised if he's not.
Not to be confused with our astrologer, who I think is Liz at the reception desk. Takes care of the office management. I think she's our astrologer.
Okay. Yeah. Now, there's only a little difference in astrology and astronomy. I mean, there's not but a few letters different in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm really surprised, well, the telescope guy hasn't.
Yeah.
Spoke up yet either. That's what I was watching for. Oh, Cindy said you're the best.
Hold it. Yeah, she just did.
She just did.
Let's take care of that possibility. I'm assuming he's in the area right now.
Well,
so
I
let's,
would assume so, but you never know.
So let's see if we can page our local telescope expert here. Let's see if we can do that. Here we go.
While you're doing that, the phone is ringing, so I'll bet you.
I think that may be him. The attention call actually helped. Melissa's coming to this side of the board, or actually coming to the phone booth. There we go. Some little zippy music for you. This is actually from a short. You might have seen it back in your high school days. Why study industrial arts?
I love industrial arts.
was that your strong suit in high school?
I know it's
not quite related to, but in a way it is.
You know, I've done a lot of things. And my problem is, you know, there's people who know what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm 67, and I still don't have a damn clue what I want to be when I grow up.
You know, there's something to be said for that, though. If you really don't know, I mean, I know you're kind of kidding, but at the same time, if you almost don't know, it means there's always the potential to learn something else. Because you said you kind of started to pick this up late in the game, right?
Meaning, well, every little fat boy in the mountains where I grew up knows how to make liquor. But I mean,
there's your next label: every little fat boy in the mountains whiskey from Traveler's Point. There you go.
You know.
Hold this up to the camera too while you guys talk.
Melissa said she's just off mic. She said she's going to hold up this this nice barrel lid for you to take a look. Yes, it is. Did you design this?
Or? I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. While I am a little artistic, or sometimes accused of being, well,
yeah, I know. Stop while you're ahead.
Yeah, stop while I'm ahead here. One of our partners is extremely talented as an artist. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the mural in town as you're coming north.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gentleman who painted that is one of our partners, and he came up with the logo. We referred to that little fella as a drunk hiker, but I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's how we refer to the little fella on the sign there.
He may just be a mildly intoxicated hiker. So we've got Russ standing by on the phone. Russ, you're live on Party Line. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I think we just found your co-host on the morning show, Todd.
That'll keep them on their toes. Yeah.
How are you, young feller?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm just wondering if the FCC has any problems with you talking about whiskey. I don't think that's a problem. Oh, my God.
No, as long as we're not imbibing on the air, I think we're okay. I think.
Well, you know, I was just looking up Kirkland.
I thought you were going to say you were looking up FCC statutes right now.
Yeah, time for me to leave.
Sorry, you were saying about Kirkland?
Yeah, Kirkland, the moon starts nibbling away in Kirkland at the sun at 150-51. The darkness in Kirkland will start at 3:06:58, I repeat, 3:06:58, it'll start getting dark. And the darkness will last in Kirkland, right there at Traveler's Point, for 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Damn, that's almost a lifetime.
There you go. There you go. And 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Long enough to line them up.
True.
It's pretty respectable. Just for comparison, Bloomington, Indiana, it's dark for 4 minutes and 2 seconds. But you know, you got to travel a lot longer. But
they're
anyway,
always in the dark.
I see. I was waiting for that. If you didn't say it, I was going to.
So you like Purdue, do you?
No, I like Virginia Tech, but nobody out here knows who they are.
Yeah, I know who they are.
I hear they're in Virginia.
They are. Go Hokies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hokies.
Just don't try to tell me what a Hokie is.
So what mountain did you grow up on?
Well, there was Price Mountain around there, Brush Mountain. I grew up about 5-10 minutes away from the Jefferson National Forest there.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I had a great childhood.
Isn't that pretty close? Cumberland Gap
is probably 80 miles southwest of us, the actual Cumberland Gap.
Those are actually pretty good mountains, what you're talking about.
Yeah, the highest point are right around home there. I think the highest point in Virginia is like 6,000 feet, something like that, down in Damascus area of Virginia.
I have a son that lives in Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm. Pretty area.
Very.
Virginia is just plain beautiful.
It's just got too many people now.
They keep coming. So nice.
Yep.
So. It's the Shenandoah Valley.
But where you're talking with the Jefferson.
We were
Jefferson
up on
National
the
Forest. That's beautiful.
Shenandoah Valley lays in between. You know, you've got the Allegheny Mountain Range and the Blue Ridge. The Shenandoah Valley lays in between them. And we were more on the Allegheny side.
Yeah. I don't want to get too technical, but there is a ridge mountain near let's see, what's the name of that mountain, honey? The we have the resort.
He's not calling Matt us, Blake. Honey. I think it's his wife. I think it's Susan.
Yeah, Susan's there too. Susan has to be beside him to make sure he doesn't screw anything up.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Massanutten. So I got to tell you this.
Massanutten's up further north.
Yeah, but there's and what happened during the Civil War, the Confederate Army knew this area so well that there was kind of a ridge, a hole in the mountain. There was a mountain in between those two that you just described, and it had a valley inside, so the Confederate Army could move back and forth without being noticed by the Union Army for about, I don't know, 50, 60 miles, and they really worked at their advantage because they could move up and down this whole area without being seen because of the valley within this ridge between the two ridges.
It's an interesting area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, well, I can be serious.
I want to know what your thoughts are on the TV show Moonshiners, because I know what you do is a very precise process. It's down to a science, and it is a science. A lot of people don't, you know, they see that stuff on TV, but they don't realize how much science goes into actually doing it right.
You know, the TV show Moonshiners has brought a lot of attention to the alcohol industry. I don't care if you're one of the massive distillers or if you're like us and just small and getting started.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who thinks that is real,
yep,
better rethink their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the ones that are in Virginia and North Carolina, because it's in Virginia you can still go to jail for owning a functioning still. Whether it's used or not, you can go to jail if they want to. I mean, the chances of you doing it are very slim. But you can be prosecuted over even owning a complete still. Even in the national parks and all there along the Blue Ridge Parkway, the stills that are displayed there all have to be made to where they're non-functioning. They cut big holes in the floors of them and that kind of thing. So the chances of that are not very real. But having said that and grown up in that area, there is a lot of liquor made in that area. Mm-hmm. And it still is. It always was. My great-grandfather, I come from long generations. My great-grandfather was a legal distiller in Patrick County, Virginia in mid to late 1800s. I can remember my grandmother talking about when she was a little girl, she was born in 1886, that her job was to carry the mash away from the still and watching the chickens and the hogs get drunk eating it. But they were, at that point, there was no transportation system much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to haul your crops away. So you were permitted to get this license in the fall and to where you could turn your crops into liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And what my family was really noted for, what I gather anyway, was making peach brandy.
Wow.
They were right in the peach areas. And
wow.
And so they turned it into peach brandy.
Again, why is my mouth getting so damp right now?
Peach brandy can be pretty good sip.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
And
please tell me you're considering resurrecting that.
And again, we're talking.
If you bring me some peaches, we'll work on it.
All right.
Again, we're talking with Melvin from Traveler's Point Distillery in Kirkland.
You should call it Lookout the Fuzz.
Just
planting seeds.
We need work on your script writing. So anyway,
dad jokes aplenty, ladies and gentlemen.
Those aren't even dad jokes.
I just learned something this weekend about drinkable alcohol. Did you know in World War II, the Germans, of course, they had those U-2 rockets that were coming across and slamming into Great Britain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that was fueled by, because they didn't have gasoline, the Nazis had to fuel those things with ethanol. So they would take grain and whatnot and make ethanol about it. And the German army caught on to the fact that they could get drunk on this fuel. And so they were drinking the fuel that was supposed to go to power these rockets. And so what the Germans finally did, they put laxative. They had to put a laxative in the fuel so that they wouldn't drink it anymore.
Thus coining the term blank faced.
True story.
Sometimes the truth is just a whole lot funnier than making something up.
Yep.
definitely helped lead to the downfall of the German army anyway.
It
brings new term. No, I won't go there. Never mind.
We do very briefly need to mention we've got our guest Melvin from Traveler's Point Distillery here. And as Cindy says, he's the best. He is. He is.
I don't know about that. I ain't smart enough to be the best.
Go ahead.
You ought to be a regular visitor on our party line once in a while. Just come in and give us a hang out.
Yeah.
Do a little intellectual streaking, and I think.
You know, I've been accused of a lot of things in my life, but I've never been accused of being an intellectual streaker.
Well, that's what you're doing right now.
I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying that's one I've not been accused of.
All right, I want to flip this back around before we get way off track.
I think you better take me off the air.
Wow, he actually thinks he needs to get off the air.
Wow.
We're not suggesting it.
Right. Russ,
thank you, Russ, for calling in. And Susan, please, he's in rare form today, so be careful.
I meet with Todd today at noon, I know.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
Wow. All right. I do want to flip this back around, though, because, you just mentioned with the peach brandy that your family made back in the day. Of course, you got a four-year bourbon getting ready to come out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're getting ready to launch this whiskey. Talk a little bit about the difference in distilling those and how you get the different alcohols. Because, I mean, for the layman, the person who has no clue, it's like you throw all this grain and stuff in and then you just let it ferment and whatever comes out.
Well, in one aspect of it, you are correct. But in the other side of it, we're a highly regulated industry.
Mm-hmm.
The federal regulations are phenomenal. We have to report every pound of grain we buy. And they can take that and extrapolate out and come up with how much alcohol I should have on hand to make sure that I am reporting correctly. Different grains give you different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
If you take and taste a bourbon, most bourbon is corn, and it has to be at least 51% corn by federal law to be called bourbon. And it is a bourbon whiskey. It is not just bourbon. It's on the label. It has to say bourbon whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary grain in most bourbons is rye,
mm-hmm.
and that varies because when you taste a bourbon, that real sweet on the front of your tongue, mm-hmm. that's the corn. The peppery, spicy finish on the back of your tongue and on the little hangy down thing in the back of your throat, that's the rye.
Mm-hmm.
And
the uvula?
Is that what that little hangy thing?
Yeah.
My buddies who are doctors will like appreciate that. They go, it's not that, it's a uvula. And I go, no, it's that little hangy down thing. And because one of them brought in a bottle of liquor here the other day of whiskey, bourbon. And I tasted it, and I said, that thing right there, that bottle just makes my little hangy-down thing back there just start to burn.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't sure that's very good. But that's the rye. The rye is the spice on it. Barley malt is a hangover of a tradition. You have to be able to convert the starches to sugar and then break the sugars down into where the yeast will eat them. And barley malt or any malted grain, that's what is referred to as a diastatic power. And that's what that is. It's a naturally occurring amylase, and you add it in to help with that. Now, in the modern process, we use so little malted grains in it that we have to add a purchased amylase to it. So by the levels of what you put in of corn and rye or corn and wheat, because we also have a wheated bourbon, and the ratios that you put them, you can adjust a lot of the palate.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't understand is that over 50% of the flavor comes out of the barrel it's in.
Yeah.
Now, by federal law also, to be called bourbon, it has to be, the barrel has to be a new American white oak, and it has to be charred. Mm-hmm. Now, we not only char our barrels, and they're charred on four levels, 1 to 4. We do a number 3 char. And there's also, you have to come in, and we don't have to, but we come in and toast it first.
Mm-hmm.
We have the barrel manufacturer. We don't do the barrels. They're done for us.
Right.
But we have the barrel manufacturer do a medium toast and the number 3 char on our barrels. The toasting actually goes deeper into the wood and cooks the sugars and everything in the wood more so it's easier to extract. You know, the heat and cold is important.
Mm-hmm.
The cold or the hot, when you fill it, the barrels will actually pressurize. You can open a barrel in the summertime and the bung comes out and it actually pops out. I mean, it comes out under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it turns cold, it pulls that alcohol back out of the wood, and when it does, it carries the color, because bourbon in the coming out of still is clearer than water. I mean, it's crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's not, you've made a mistake. So that is where the flavors and all come from, the caramels, the vanillas. Sometimes you get a little apricot in there. Sometimes you get a little bit of a melon flavor, and you can walk people through and make them taste everything. But, you know, there's like 35 or 40 different flavors that someone like a sommelier in wine can go through and pull out of a bottle of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I have one young man that works with me that has got one of the most incredible palates. And he can sit there and taste, and he tastes this, and he goes, yeah, I taste that now. I taste this. Yeah, I taste that now. And he can just sit there and break it down, going through the taste of what all flavors are there. And it's pretty amazing what you can develop in your palate.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding of what's going on with it. But you can adjust that, the flavors, by how you put it into the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of regulations on that.
Since we're talking to Melvin of Traveler's Point Distillery, you know, like, okay, I'm thinking, and I don't come at this from making alcohol, obviously, but the thing where maybe you're making chili and you put everything together and you know that when it cooks up, it's going to be just like this, or when it gets colder and then you reheat it, it's going to be even better. How long does it take you to train yourself to, because you're tasting the raw ingredients or you're getting a sense of the palate from the raw ingredients and you don't really know what it's going to be like when it ages, but how do you know? Like if you make a 4-year mistake, you're going to just put yourself out.
That's why you got to be careful. And you don't know. You do know, but you don't know. The ratios of the corn, I love sweet bourbon. Mm-hmm. I love to be sweet on the front of my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a high corn grain bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can go in and do, some people actually use sweet corn.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use a waxy corn because it's got more carbohydrates in it. Carbohydrates are sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We're using pretty much a regular corn. It comes out of Boone County, Michalkie Farms,
mm-hmm.
Sugar Creek Malt House. We get all of our grains from them. So we are a true, they even raise the barley and malt the barley for us.
Wow.
So we literally are a grain to glass company within 7 miles of us.
See, I've never heard that term before. I love the fact that you just gave me that term, grain to glass. That's brilliant.
And a true Hoosier product, because the grain and everything is raised here. So it's a true Hoosier product. It's an mm-hmm. Indiana product.
But you can adjust. You know that if you go down lower on corn,
mm-hmm.
and by federal law, I have to be somewhere between 51% corn and 79.9% corn.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 75, so we're a very high corn grain bill. We run 17% rye, or if we're making wheated bourbon, we're 17% wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that you're going to have a little burn on the back of your tongue,
mm-hmm.
sometimes referred to as a Kentucky hug. I always like that term. Hey, somebody was in the bar the other night, and they tasted the sup, and they kind of go, and I go, yeah, that was a good Kentucky hug there. That didn't squeeze tight. And, you know, so you don't know, but you do know.
Sure.
So, but the regulations tell you what you have to do, but there is a lot of wiggle room in the middle.
Right.
And our grain bill probably matches 25 other bourbons.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. There's not but so many grain bills. And 2 or 3% can make a big difference. But because of where we are and how we distill it, ours will never taste the same as ours, mm-hmm. is what mm-hmm. they're making. I'm not saying one's better than this. Well, ours is, but I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you can adjust that, but it's the location we're in, the grain we're using, the still we're using to make it in, and those type of things mean that we're going to come with a different product from that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I still love the pot stills. You know, most of them have gone to a continuous column where they continuously feed mash into it, mm-hmm. and their different components are parts to the distillation run. And the way I make it, we can definitively tell when that part has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got what's referred to as the four shots, and that's the methanol determined by temperature.
Mm-hmm.
As much as anything, it's the first part of the alcohol to come off, and then you have what are referred to as the heads. And that's got all the conagers and esters, and sometimes you can taste some butanol in it and some acetone. We throw all that away. And then we get into what is referred to as the heart of the run, and that's the major part of the run, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the back end of it, and you get what's referred to as the tails. Now, the tails are kind of funny because as it gets close to those tails, can be the most flavorful
mm-hmm.
part of the run. But at the same time, once you hit that point to where it goes from ethanol to the tails, everything starts to smell and taste like wet cardboard.
Right.
So you have to be close by it to know when that happens. You can go a lot by temperature, but it's better to be there and smell it and taste it.
Yeah.
So while I don't drink a lot, I do this a lot.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm a sipper, not a drinker.
Not a juggler.
Not at this point in my life. So. Although it is kind of interesting some mornings, you walk in and you look at the boys and go, let's break out that new stuff out of that barrel and taste it and see where it's going to. So you're sitting there at 8 o'clock in the morning starting to sip. And some people think that that's cool, I guess, but, you know, you got to be careful.
But it's the mechanics of it. You're just trying to get the flavor, not mm-hmm. the full
exactly
effect
right.
of it.
Exactly right. And that's why I love to go into a bar. It's a place down in Kentucky I go to pretty regular.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this wonderful bar. Very small place, but they have this tremendous back bar. And they have by location on the bar where the bottle's set, and it may cost you anywhere from $10 an ounce or an ounce and a half pour to $200 for an ounce pour. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit there all evening and drink out of the 200s, and my bill will be $50 because the lady that owns it and I are friends, and she knows I want a quarter of an inch in the bottom of a rounded glass. I just
right.
want to sit there and smell it, because smell is a big part of taste,
mm-hmm.
and smell it and let it develop, take the small sip, analyze it in your mouth, take the second sip, because the second sip is where you really taste it.
Mm-hmm.
The first sip sets you up to taste it. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm no one of wine sommelier type people or nothing like that. I ain't that smart. But
I beg to differ, but okay.
You know, it is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it's, to me, it's market research, plus it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. On average, just one more question because I know we're pushing time.
Well, we've actually got two more.
Okay, two more? Okay.
One from Cindy.
Okay, because we're pushing time. What on the average, you know, you talk about doing a run, and on the average, how long does it take you to do a run?
That's kind of a three-part question
mm-hmm.
answer. There's separate sections to it. I produce the mash. And I cook it. And so I have a 1,000-gallon mash tun where I cook in. So I put 850 gallons of water in it. At around 100 degrees, I add 2,100 pounds of corn and either rye or rye and wheat, whatever I'm putting running. I add that into it. Then I bring that up to around 180 degrees and hold it for a couple hours, let that cook and extract all of the starch out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I've added my first round of high temperature amylase into it, that breaks it from being starch and converts it into being sugar. And that's a long chain sugar, and yeast still don't eat long chain sugars.
Mm-hmm.
So then we take it, let it cool down, or cool it down, let it, till about 140 degrees, 140 to 142 degrees. And then we add the barley malt into it. If I go higher with the barley malt, I kill the dynastic power. So we add the barley malt into it, and then we add the second round of alpha amylase and a beta amylase into it. We let that set for an hour. Then we drop the temperature down to around 80 to 83 degrees. Then at that point, we pump it into two fermenters. I have 500-gallon fermenters because I have a 500-gallon still. Mm-hmm. But I pump it in there and add the yeast as we pump it in. The yeast are funny little rascals. They do what they like, and you have to make them happy. Mm-hmm. Unhappy yeast doesn't make good liquor. So maintaining temperatures on it while it is in the fermentation. But if I make a mash on Wednesday, it runs me for 2 days, and I'll use that mash on Monday and Tuesday the following week. So it takes about 6 days to ferment. Mm-hmm. And then I run a 500-gallon hybrid pot still that we designed to where I can get basically three distillations at one run. It's kind of like your old hillbilly cartoons you watch, and they got the feller was sitting there with three X's on his jug. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That signifies three distillations. That's what that means. It's been ran through the still three times.
You just clarified something for me. I never realized why triple X root, you know, the root beer, the sandwiches, the stuff in Lafayette. It never occurred to me that triple X was an indication of a marking for how many times. That's you 54 and you can still learn stuff.
Yeah, 68, 67, I still learn a whole lot.
Wow.
I got plenty of room up there yet to stick stuff. No, that's what the determination is, but the way I have my still designed, and I can adjust proof. With a standard pot still, 128 proof, 130 proof at max mm-hmm. is what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. In my still, if I really want to crank it and change things around on it, I can produce 170 proof alcohol.
Ooh. Wowzers.
To be bourbon, I cannot distill it above 160. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I distill closer to the 140. I like to be somewhere in that 138 to 142 proof because I still have flavor.
Right.
The higher the proof coming off, the less flavor is left. And so then we put it into a barrel and we get, I make about 50 gallons a day, 52 gallons a day, somewhere maybe a little more than that, at 140 proof. So we gather that all together, and when I get enough to fill 20 barrels, I proof it down. Because again, the federal law says I have to go in the barrel at less than 124.9 proof. So that's what I do, is gather that, then we take RO water and proof it down to the lower proof. Mm-hmm. And we actually go in fairly low. We go into the barrel at 112, which lends itself to a softer finish coming out.
So the question that Cindy wanted us to, she wanted us to ask you to elaborate on your upcoming eclipse evening.
Yeah, go back over it here before we close out.
I thought I would told her he said that. Tell her to listen more closely, because I done told her that three times, but she won't listen to me. Okay, we're going to be opening, Cindy. We're going to open up at high noon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to get out of here before the trouble starts.
She just stuck her head in the door and looked at me like, who in the heck do you think you are? See how I cleaned that up?
You did good. You did very well.
Yeah, we're going to open at noon on Saturday the 8th. We will have some special cocktails for the day. There will mm-hmm. be food available. Mm-hmm. We'll have live music being played. We will be introducing our new whiskey. It's a Solera whiskey, which is an aging and a blending process. Cannot be called a bourbon because it's been put in used cooperage. And so it has to be called a whiskey. Mm-hmm. But we'll be introducing that. And then I hope everybody comes by and has a supper too, sets on the deck. And if they need glasses to look at it with, we'll have some glasses there. It might even say Traveler's Point on them. Yeah.
Nice.
I like advertising. Here, I brought you a sign to put in your window over here where everybody can see it.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I highly endorse this idea. Anything else we need to ask before we...
I can tell you, Cindy gets a hold of that. We're not going to see it. You know where it's going to be.
In her office,
okay.
Yeah.
Now,
okay. She's been trying to find things to hang on her okay. wall, and I know now, that's exactly where that's
minute.
Going.
I'll have something to offend you to get you back in here. let's go for the hat trick. Do we need anything else?
No, I think that's it. Okay. I know our other guests just walked in the door, right. So we are going to have to wrap it up.
Melvin from Traveler's Point Distillery, it is, as always, has been a true pleasure to have you in. The door is always open for you,
yep.
my friend.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're just a fascinating guy. I love hearing about this stuff.
You know, I don't know about that. I'm just an old hillbilly, but love to have y'all folks come down. We're real easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
421 Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
when you get to the stoplight, and you notice I said the stoplight.
Yeah, because right. there's only one.
Turn east. If you're going south, that's turn left. If you're coming north, turn right at the stoplight. Mm-hmm. And come out there about a quarter of a mile, and you'll see a little brown building. Used to be the railroad depot.
Yep.
The old freight depot for the Monon Railroad. And that's where we're at. We're open Friday nights and Saturdays.
All right. Y'all got the word.
Melvin
from Travelers Point Distillery, and we appreciate it as always. And we're going to go ahead and take a very quick breather here, come back with more Party Line. But considering our friend mentioning the mountains.
Oh, geez, wrong mountains, dude.
Oh, wait.
Come
wait.
On.
This is the Swiss Chocolate Mountains. Uh-huh. You're on WILO Party Line. I was waiting for a while to do that. WILO and Boone 102.7.
1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
When you think of diamonds, what comes to mind?
Getting engaged.
Your wedding day.
A favorite anniversary. Diamonds tend to be associated with special memories. The next time you hear the word diamonds, you need to think of Vierks Fine Jewelry.
At Vierks, we have the area's largest and finest selection, featuring hundreds of in-stock certified diamonds, all shapes and sizes, and specializing in a carat and larger.
And our prices and quality will meet or exceed anyone's, from the mall, to the internet, to even New York's Diamond District.
And for true expertise, Vierks has Lafayette's only GIA graduate gemologist in residence, along with the area's only, and we do mean only, USPAP compliant jewelry appraiser.
Let Vierks help make any occasion shine with the perfect diamond for your individual taste, style, and budget.
If you're serious about a diamond and serious about saving money, then you need to visit Vierks Fine Jewelry. Seriously.
Corner of 18th and Main, Lafayette, Vierks.com.
Winter is a time to bundle up and stay warm. And at Encompass Credit Union, nothing warms the heart like the feeling of financial security. They're a community-oriented banking solution that's here for their neighbors in Tipton, Clinton, and Howard counties. Come by any of the Encompass branches today to open an account or apply for a loan online at EncompassCU.org. Join Encompass in building a more secure financial future together.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Are you ready for a smoother ride? Head over to Big O Tires, the team you trust next to Parkies in Lebanon. Their expert team is dedicated to keeping you on the road with top-quality tires and exceptional service. Schedule your appointment today for a hassle-free experience. Call Big O Tires in Lebanon today. And don't forget to check Big O Tires out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. And like manager John and owner Alan always say,
did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation that comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
TC Trailers. Oh.
Honey?
TC Trailers.
Honey, wake up.
What? What's wrong?
You were dreaming about TC Trailers again.
Oh, they do have over 300 trailers on the lot. Cargos, haulers, concessions, landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
They have that loaded parts store and their on-site repair shop for all makes and models, even warranty repairs.
Okay, okay. We'll go tomorrow. Let's get some sleep.
TC Trailers, a dream come true. Stop in or visit tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
All right, welcome back to the Party Line, brought to you by BooneCountyDailyNews.com, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, and the WeLoveBigDeals.com site, as well as TC Trailers, Encompass Credit Union, Marchand's Window Tending in Antioch, Vierks Fine Jewelry in Lafayette, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance in Frankfort, and Ivy Tech Community College. Online telecast at HoosierLandTV.com, brought to you by the Farmers Bank, ProBike Computer Sales and Service, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Reinhardt Realtors, and 51 West Event Center. You're on Boone 102.7 AM 1570 and 96.9 FM WILO, the Party Line. Melissa Miller on the other side of the board, and welcoming on the other side of the board, it's Riley today. Yes.
Yep, Riley Spry.
All right.
from Core Community. Ooh. Riley is the director of, you pretty much just run everything. Stephanie's got all the administrative stuff, and you got everything else, pretty
little
much.
Little flip-flop. Stephanie's the one who makes all the big decisions, and I do all the admin, the internal workings on the other side. So.
Well, that's all right. More power to I know she is ecstatic to have you to help with everything.
Hey, we're ecstatic to have her.
So, yeah, she's a little like an energetic bunny, more or less. So, let's get right into it. I mean, a lot going on at the core. The warmer weather has hit. I think people, when the weather gets warm, that's when they feel like, oh, hey, it's time to get out, it's time to do. But they also kind of flood into the community center too, because they know they can be there 24/7.
Yeah, definitely has picked up quite a bit. We have, like, for example, we have a basketball program usually takes place between January and March, and so that's still ongoing, and that definitely increases the amount of people who are like, hey, well, we're going to be there for practice anyway, might as well bring in so-and-so and we'll go, you know, exercise and all that, which is great because we have so much equipment, so many things that you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about member services. And I know I want to touch again. We did touch on this back in February about the changes to why people who still had Y memberships and core. We want to talk about that. But then let's talk about everything that's offered. I mean, you guys got a lot there. There's no reason to go anywhere else, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely being a community center, it's all encompassing. So we're not just a gym, right? You know, we have things that can meet you in any part of your life. We've got a free active older adults program that goes on monthly field trips and, you know, has bingo once a month and great place to like meet friends. Of course, we've got the gym and the fitness classes and the pool. But in addition to that, we've got like an early learning preschool program and youth sports and adult sports and everything few and far between. So definitely the big change this year, I know, like you said, we did talk about this in February, but being as of March 1st, we are no longer accepting nationwide members. But we will be my brain is like totally not right.
Don't feel bad. Mine's pretty much toast too. That's the reason why we have notes.
I'm like drinking my energy drink. Like, all right, we're good. So as of March 1st, we're no longer accepting nationwide members for free. Our system just hasn't been compatible with it for quite a while. But it is only $5 for the day, and it does make you a member, for that day. Mm-hmm. So you can go and you can come back and all of that jazz. Or $15 for a family. And our memberships, the way that they're different, so making you a member for the day, it does grant you all of the amenities for a member for that day, right? So you have full facility access, you have all of the classes are included in that price, you can come and access the pool during open swim hours, all of that is included. The only thing being, obviously, you have those additional benefits being a member, like discounted program offerings and things like that. Mm-hmm. But so you would be able to come in for just $5 for the day on that one.
With the warm weather coming in, like you said, basketball's still going on for now, but you're going to have programs coming into the warmer weather, and especially youth programs, and spring break's right around the corner.
Absolutely, yeah. So spring break's coming up at the end of March here, and we do have the spring break camp. We still have some spots open, so if anybody wants to register, absolutely please call in. Please stop by the Welcome Center. So it serves ages, kindergarten through sixth grade, and they do all kinds of fun stuff, I'll tell you. So it's going to be on double check my thing here. It's going to be the 22nd and then the 25th through the 29th. So that Friday before and then the entire following week. And they'll have, they have swim days during it. They've got structured activities and they get to be with a lot of friends that they may not get to see outside of core or that go to the same school as them. And there's people that they know there as well. So we still have registrations open for that. If you have kids that are wanting to come participate, you're needing some child care for that week, please stop by and see us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's great for the parent, for the people who aren't taking off and going someplace for spring break. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of parents don't, you know, only so many people can take off work from, say, NHK or whatever to go to, you know, take off for spring break. So everybody's got to have a place for their kids. So it makes it nice to not have to worry about that.
Right.
adult programs, you talked about the adult programs, of course, the bingo and everything, but this March, they're getting ready to do, what is it, Ship Shawana on the Road.
Oh, yeah.
And that's got to be a favorite.
So last month, the Active Older Adults program did, it was kind of like painting with a twist, but no alcohol involved. So,
yeah.
They actually did, it was like painting with soup.
yeah.
But I'll tell you, I went back there and had some of that soup, and let me tell you, it was fantastic. But yeah, they went back there and they painted love bugs for February.
Wow.
And it was so cute. And all the ladies had such a wonderful time. We're hoping to do that one pretty frequently. As often as we can, because it was
yeah,
a big hit.
I think just painting with friends has got to be fun anyway.
Oh, it was a hoot.
To the point that you don't really care what it looks like when you're done. You're just there having a good time.
But yeah, so this month they're going to be going to Ship Shawana on the Road at the Boone County Fairgrounds. And they're going to lunch at Parkey's in Lebanon before they go. I'm jealous.
Yeah,
Parkey's is delicious.
Sure. Oh yeah, that's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun though. Ship Shawana on the Road. Todd, have you ever done that?
I have not, but I've heard praises sung.
It's cool. It is cool. It's so nice to have Ship Shawana come around to different areas close to home, to where you don't have to travel up there, because normally if I go, I go and get a hotel room and we stay for
make
the
a day
whole,
of
yeah
it.
we make a whole weekend of it or whatever, but and it usually costs me a lot of money. And that's one of the things for you guys doing this with your adults, it doesn't cost a whole lot for them to do this.
Nope. And I will say, so our HR person, her name is Angie. She's actually the one that oversees the Active Older Adults program and schedules everything and makes sure everything's in place. And so one of the things that she did was push out, like, she pushed out, I think it was 6 months, like a couple of months ago, like what the next 6 months are going to be as far as trips go, mm-hmm. and how much it's going to cost for each one. So, you know, we include that on the flyer. If it's going to cost anything, like, hey, here's what you might need to provide, so that our folks that are going to be coming in and participating are aware of it. So I believe she put, like, it was like bring money for lunch if you're planning on eating, and, you know, that kind of thing. But
sure.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff you can go to for free. Like, they usually try to choose stuff
free or minimal cost.
Very
right.
minimal.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that makes it great for especially for older adults. Mm-hmm. To get out there, and I'm fast becoming that category. But it does make it nice for them to be able to, one, be with people their own age, mm-hmm. and people with like-minded and that kind of thing, and just have a good time, but then also don't have to have the worries of it. Because
right.
it's all planned out for them. Mm-hmm. It's all done. You just get to go, participate, have fun.
Exactly, yeah. And that being, you know, definitely our folks that are on a fixed income, that is something really important to take into consideration as well. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to be like, hey, you got to tap $200 to it. I mean, that's
right.
not realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, a big thing about Core Community Center is meeting the evolving needs of our community and taking those additional factors into consideration. And I'm really proud of what we do for the Active Older Adults program, absolutely, because it really makes a difference in a lot of these people's lives to be able to get out and, you know, go on a field trip, which, of course, you know, they do at Paul Philippi Resource Center, which is amazing, mm-hmm. and they can go and congregate mm-hmm. there and do amazing things. But with these field trips, being able to pick up and, like, go to a different place, it's just meeting a different need for them. And, I mean, we only hear great things about it, so
yeah.
I like that feedback.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you want to get a wig and you know, kind of.
Oh, I got to run the bingo back in January.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it was such a hoot. Such a hoot. I got to call the bingo numbers and everything.
I'm sure they could get a little competitive.
A little competitive. But
just
they,
a little, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's mainly, you know, it's like we don't do, like, monetary prizes or anything like that at Core. But, you know, they've got some, like, cute little prizes and stuff they can win. And they get so excited. You'll just, especially when you hear an older lady, and she just goes, bingo! And you're like, all right, call your numbers. Let's do this. I mean, it is so much fun.
Oh, that's going to be a hoot, I'm sure. Let's talk about Core Kitchen. Core Kitchen is amazing, and I love the fact that Core Community, it is community-based, it's community-centered, and mm-hmm. it is for the community. But let's talk about Core Kitchen.
So Core Kitchen registrations, they open up on the first of every month, and then the pickup date for the food is always going to be on the third Thursday, unless, of course, there's some extenuating circumstances
right.
that prevent that from happening.
Thanksgiving.
exactly. So it does open up on the first of every month. We send out, like, an email to all those who have subscribed to receive notifications about Core Kitchen, being like, hey, don't forget, it's opening up. every month, as the word gets out more and more, the spots fill up faster and faster.
Wow.
So we only have 100 bags that we can give out with the grant money that we have now.
Right.
And, you know, obviously we're working on expanding that or applying for more funds as we can. But last month it filled up in like 5 hours. This month it filled up in 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So we open at 5 and by 8:45, all 100 spots were taken.
And I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time, that there is a need out there. And mm-hmm. obviously, I mean, that's probably some of the strongest evidence of that, for that to be able to fill up that quick.
Exactly. And I know that that's one of the things Stephanie has taken and been like, look at this data. So when we collect the information for Core Kitchen, you know, we get the basic contact info, and then mm-hmm. we do have 3 optional questions that just help provide demographic information. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they're completely optional, but, you know, folks usually have no problem providing that information, as it does help us apply for more grant funding to either continue or expand the program. So with that data and with the Know Your Numbers data, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second,
sure.
We submit it to IDOH, which is the Indiana Department of Health. And they're the ones who have provided our funding for the Core Kitchen program, and we just love them. We love IU Health. They're the ones who provided the funding. My apologies. Mm-hmm. And then IDOH, they collect all of the data, and mm-hmm. You know, so they put out their 2023 report, and it shows all of the numbers for Clinton County and like for Core Community Center in 2023 that we did with the Know Your Numbers and the Core Kitchen, like who all that's impacted, and it was incredible to see all of those numbers kind of compile together, because of course, you know, we're the ones who are involved in the day-to-day operation of it.
Sure.
So you don't realize how big of a reach
right.
it really has. But it's, if you get a chance, I highly encourage you to go to the IDOH website and look at the data and how the impact has really made a difference here in Clinton County, because it's pretty incredible.
Are you seeing with the Core Kitchen and those who are registering for it, are you seeing more like multi-member families, or are you seeing like older adults?
Oh yeah.
You know, what kind of what are you seeing with that as far as the majority of the ones that are taking advantage of it?
So I would say there isn't necessarily like a majority, which is interesting, because you know, I'd say the majority probably being like adult age, right? So between mm-hmm. ages of, I'd say like 25 and 60. But we do have a pretty good percentage of fixed income folks or our active older adults in our community that are utilizing this. And we've been able to partner with like the Boys and Girls Club, Center Township, and the Paul Philippi Resource Center, their pickup locations in addition to Core. And they're able to reach out to the people that they serve as well, which does impact the amount of people or who is able to call in and or register online in order to receive those bags. So it's not necessarily just like one group, which I think is an interesting facet to take into consideration,
mm-hmm.
but it really spans from 18 to,
wow.
To, I mean, like, I think the oldest one I've seen was like 89, 90 years old.
Wow.
So yeah, absolutely.
You touched on it just a minute ago, part of the numbers that you have to turn in. And again, we are with Riley Spry from the Core Community Center here in Frankfort. You touched on Know Your Numbers, and I know that's mm-hmm. happening this evening, correct?
Yes, it is. So the Know Your Numbers program is just a free program. Anybody is welcome to come in. We do it in the Core Community Center lobby, and we have 2 different ones. We do one in the evening on the first Monday of the month, and from 3:30 to 6, that's the one that's happening this evening. But you can come in and get your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your you know, weight. It's Know Your Numbers, right? Know your basic numbers for your health, which of course helps when you go to the doctor, but also just kind of see where you're at. So we do that one, and then we also do one that's in the morning, which is usually the 3rd or 4th Wednesday of the month from 9 to 11. And that is really great, and it's been so helpful. I mean, I can tell you, I can count on, you know, both my hands the number of stories of people that have been massively impacted of like, oh, I just found out that I have diabetes because you encouraged me to go
right.
to the doctor based off of my numbers that we saw. Or, you know, I went and got blood pressure medication and this has massively
sure.
positively impacted my life. And it's really cool to see the positive difference that it makes in the folks that come in and use it. I know I get my numbers done every time.
Yeah, so. Well, and I know getting your numbers checked like that, like you said, people who may not know that they have something going on or...
Right.
In my case, it was, I had a medication that I had outgrown. My body had built a tolerance to it, and it wasn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. And so my numbers were changing. And going to the doctor after finding that out, and going to the doctor to find out why those numbers were changing, why things weren't staying balanced.
It forearms you a little bit.
Yeah, so, well, it gives you that knowledge that you need to go and say, hey, look, something's wrong because this is changing. These numbers are changing. So we need to look at this when you go to your doctor. So mm-hmm. it's a great way for, and it's free.
It's free. Don't have to be a member.
Yep.
You're welcome to just come into the lobby and get your numbers checked and talk to people while you're there, or, you know, head home after that if you want, you know, whatever your heart desires. So, yeah, like I said, don't have to be a member to take part in that. You can absolutely just come in and get your numbers checked.